Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. John talking to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana, in the good old United States of America. And I'd like to talk to you on the subject of addiction and theology and go into a few things about that. Well, to begin with, theology is the science of studying God, divinity, and it's that study of God and his actions. And not so much religion, but of course religion can be tagged to it, but the study of God according to the scriptures, the Bible. And we're going to go into a little bit of that. And as you can see on the information about this episode, that I have a quote from Ed Welch. And it says, theology makes a difference. It is the infrastructure of our lives. Build it poorly and it will collapse. Build it well, you will be prepared for anything. The basic problem of addiction is that addictions are ultimately a disorder of worship. Are ultimately a disorder of worship. So I'll talk about this a little bit. It's from Ed Welch, Addiction, A Banquet in the Grave. Theology makes a difference. Why? Because it's the infrastructure of our lives. In August of 2005, there was Hurricane Katrina came through, hit New Orleans, probably face up, right in the face. And the damage that was done to a high-powered, high-velocity storm, hurricane-like Katrina was minimal for that size. So, hear me out. But it wasn't until after the storm was in its process or after it had left, let's say, not altogether, but the levees started to break. The infrastructure of New Orleans and Metairie started to break. And subdivisions of New Orleans, 50, 60, maybe higher than that percent of New Orleans and Metairie, which is next door to New Orleans, it's only divided by a levee, or canals, they broke. And it flooded homes that would have been safe. What happened? The infrastructure was broken down. It was the lack of concern and of maintenance on the infrastructure that destroyed and caused most of the damage in that in those two cities in the area. Yeah, it did a lot of damage. That wind did some damage. But I'm talking about New Orleans. And then you had the infrastructure or the leadership of the city, which was ill-prepared and was only elected because they're popular, they're charismatic, but as far as taking care of something, they couldn't do anything. They went and hid, is what they did, and they just left the city to fend on itself. So the infrastructure and the leadership of that infrastructure was ill-prepared, incompetent. And so it's the same thing with the infrastructure of your life. If it's not maintained, if it's of a poor quality, I understand some of the levees in New Orleans weren't constructed correctly. They fudged on how deep they were putting the walls for the levees, which is, I'm not surprised. And so we find here it will collapse. like it says there, and Ed says, build it poorly and it will collapse. And that is exactly what happened in 2005 in New Orleans and surrounding area. Mississippi got hit hard. I mean, they got the brunt of it. They had 13, 14 foot tidal waves, and I tell you, you just, you know, ain't much you can do about that. Then after this, but down in New Orleans, as a matter of fact, give you an example, the original French Quarter, original New Orleans, did not flood. But what damaged them was, again, the infrastructure, the lack of electricity. It took over a month to get electricity back going. So what you think what's going to get destroyed? Everything that is protected by electricity. Give you an example. Antoine's. Antoine's is a family-owned restaurant in the French Quarter. It's a 182-year-old restaurant, one of the oldest family-owned restaurants. And they have say that their wine cellar is the largest above-ground wine cellar in the world. And guess what happened to all their wine? It spoiled. It went bad because there was no electricity. It wasn't water. It was no electricity. Again, if the infrastructure is poorly, it's going to collapse. And that's a good example of it. Then Ed says here, build it well, you will be prepared for anything. You'll be prepared for anything. Build what well? Your theology, your spiritual life, your activities in spirituality. That's what he's talking about. Your faith. Who's your faith in? Is it in you? You know, there's two religions in the world. One religion says, I can run my life and work my way through life, and I'm going to do it my way. Or you can say, and that's putting your faith in yourself, okay? Then you can say, the other religion is, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ and his work for me and how what he did for me by coming to this earth, being born of a virgin, and not sinning one time, even though he was in flesh like you and I. And then he allowed himself to be sacrificed for our sin. Not his sin, for our sin. And then he resurrected 3 days later. And putting your faith in that work, in Jesus' work, then you will have a successful life. And you will go to heaven when you die, and you'll be following Jesus instead of yourself in that life. And that's a strong theology, and that you will not collapse. You will be able to go through life, and you'll be prepared for anything, as Ed says. Let me go a little bit further here in Ed's statement. The basic problem of addiction is that addictions are ultimately a disorder of worship. The basic problem of addiction is that addictions are ultimately a disorder of worship. So if you put your faith in yourself or your faith in your favorite religion that really impresses you, and it's not faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are not going to be successful. The success of Celebrate Recovery or AA or any of those things is because people in those organizations are born-again believers and are following Christ in his word. Muhammad can't do it. Muhammad's dead. He didn't resurrect. Buddha's dead. He didn't resurrect. Theistic evolution is a con job for a lot of ungodly, unrepentant, non-Christian theistic revolutions, a religion of works. We've all been through that. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you in the scripture to explain what I'm talking about. It's in Galatians, excuse me, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. He's talking to the Galatians, Paul the Apostle. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, if you don't know the gospel that he preached, well, I just shared it with you, the work of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Okay? If anybody preaches anything else but that, Paul says, let him be accursed. Okay? Be accursed. Verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's some strong words, huh? Now, the gospel, it means good news. To some people, Buddhism, Hinduism, good news. Mohammedism is good news. But no, we're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation by the work of Jesus Christ. Like he says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What's he say in verse 6? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And that is the gospel of works. And the Roman Catholics, they have a gospel of works, and they throw Jesus in there to draw a lot of people, and Mary. They worship Mary more than they worship Jesus. That's another gospel. So let's see something here. Let's see some other scriptures and what they say. Let's go to the same verse 8. Galatians 3:10. He says, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. So if you think you're going to work your way to heaven, I was quoting a scripture, this lady says, well, I don't curse that much. Oh, she's shacking up with somebody. But she thinks she's going to heaven because she don't curse much, because she's a good Roman Catholic. See, that's another gospel. That's another gospel. Let's see right here what this says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ did it. Jesus Christ died on the cross and sacrificed for us. That's why we can have salvation freely by the work of Jesus Christ, not by the works of self. Anything that's another gospel. Another gospel is working your way to salvation. You can be a religious. You can be baptized. You can be a deacon. You can be a Baptist preacher, an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. You can be the most religious person that turns off the lights on Friday night and doesn't turn them back on till Saturday night, so he doesn't want to do any work on the Sabbath. You can have the best dietary law, and you think all of those things are going to get you to heaven. that's another gospel. And you are cursed. You're not going to go to heaven when you die. You're not going to have a structure, infrastructure for this life that's going to successfully get you through this life without being in the bonds of addiction, because it's another gospel. Okay, let's see what else the Bible says here. Let's look at Mark 14:71. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. Well, he's not having his faith in the right person. He's got his faith in himself. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that are, Jesus is accursed, or they're saying that. They don't have their faith in the Word of God. We've got politicians saying they're good Catholics. They might be a good Catholic, but they're not a good Christian. And they're going by another gospel. But look, let me get down to this. You're struggling with something in your life that's controlling you. Well, your theology is messed up. You're not following Jesus Christ. You're not surrendered to Jesus Christ. You're not going to him in prayer and saying, God, I confess this as sin. And I agree with you that it's sin. Now, let me tell you something. You might be trying to quit drinking and drugging and all this other stuff and trying to be stop being unfaithful to your wife or your husband, and you're struggling with that. God's not confronting you about that. He's confronting you about your attitude toward drinking or attitude toward somebody, so that when that person comes into your mind or something that comes into your mind, you just, I got to go have a drink. I got to go drug. I got to do this. That's what God's dealing with you about. And you have to agree with him that that is sin in your life, and that you have to confess that as sin. You don't have to go to some other person and do it. You got to go to the Lord in your mind. If you got to get on your knees, you have to have that physical action, then do it. Like Jesus said, get in the closet. So get alone. Get in your car. And just talk to the Lord. And confess that thing that's driving you to go drink or drug or be unfaithful or whatever. And then God, he promises you. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, confess them, agree with God that they're sin, he will forgive you of all unrighteousness and cleanse you. That means the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary is still alive and well. That blood, if you had it in your veins right now, you'd live for eternity. That's right. And but that blood has still got the power to be applied to your sin of thinking that way. And God will cleanse you of that sin. And so that the next time that thought comes into your life, then you can take it to the cross a lot easier and say, no, I've been forgiven for that. And God will give you the strength. God will give you the strength. You might have to confess it again and again and again, but God will give you the strength to overcome, because you're trusting in Christ to do it. You're trusting in his forgiveness, and you're trusting in his cleansing to redeem you, to liberate you from that sinful thought. Then, you know, what happens? You think a thought, then it becomes an emotion. And if you keep that sinful thought going, then it becomes an action. And then you're all frustrated, and everybody else is frustrated, yada, yada, yada. But you put your faith in Christ. You put that your faith in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a lot of my thoughts are unrighteous. Your thoughts are unrighteous. That's where the transformation has to take place. That's where the infrastructure of our theology has to be changed and rebuilt. And God has to do it in our mind, in our thoughts. That's where it has to be done. Then your theology will be straight, and then you will go through life very, very successful. Not your type of success, but the success that God has for you and your life. You know, Jesus said, this is how we're to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, a reverence to God Almighty, your creator. So you're respecting your creator, the one that lets you breathe and live and eat and walk. Hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So you're submitting yourself to God's will for your life today on earth. And what's that mean? That means you're going to yield yourself to his communication to you, for his life for you, his today's walk for you, and what he has planned for you, and you accept it, and it's going to be through your thought life. You probably got a lot of stinking thinking going on in your life, in your mind. I got some. And that's why I've got time to share this with you, and then I'll close. Get yourself a notebook and write down, Lord, just read the scriptures. You can say, like, today is what, the 13th? Or if it is, it's 13th, whatever. Read Psalm 13. Read Proverbs 13. Say, Lord, speak to me. Okay? And so write down what he says to you. And what he says to you is personal. It's for you. And it's actually something he's confronting you about or encouraging you with or has lined out for you. So do that for 3 weeks, for about 3 weeks. Get used to it. Then you can see a difference in your thinking and your life and your strength over sin, and you see the victory in your life. That's if you want it. But if you're going to, you can't play patty cake. You can't play games. You can't play religion with God. I mean, he created you. Now, this is all under the assumption that you're a born-again believer, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ's work and his finished work on the cross and in the resurrection of him, that he's alive in heaven today. That is assuming that you put your faith in him. Now, if you haven't, let's see. Let me show you this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me read that again. Neither, negative, nothing. Neither is there salvation. That's what we're talking about, being saved from ourselves, from our addictions, from our sinful life and destruction of the future when we die, but our sinful life here on this earth now. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other, for there is none. None. You know what none means? Not. Neither or nor. Not even neither, none, nor, not, nothing. That's what none means. None. Other name under heaven. Now, you know where heaven is? It's where we're at. And the heavens above us. There's three heavens. You got this heaven that's around us that protects us from a lot of stuff that's out there, the sun rays and all of that. Then there's the heaven of the stars and the galaxies and the solar systems and all of that. Then there's a third heaven, and that's where God is. But let me tell you something, where we're at. We're under heaven. And it says there, name, there is none other name under heaven given among men. That's what we are, men. You too, women. Yeah. You read Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. See, Adam was created. Then God took from Adam and formed Eve. So you're out of Adam. You're feminist. So it means, when it says man, it means mankind. It means all of man. Now, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Must. It means necessary. It is necessary. It behooves to meet. Must. So that's what must means. Be what? Saved. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ, because there's none other. Another name given among heaven. And then it says, I'm going to close with this. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, see what we're talking about, believing in any other name, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God made it for a simple person, 4 years old, 5 years old, to be saved, to ask God to save them because they believe in what Jesus had done for them. My two children were saved. And they were 4 and 5 years old. They believed. And God came into their life, and their life reflects that Christ has a lot. Their theology has a strong infrastructure. And so if a 4 or 5 year old, a 20, 25 year old, a 10 year old, 15 year old, what I'm trying to tell you is this, I'm closing out now, no matter how old you are, and maybe you've done that, then there's something wrong with your faith or your belief in the Word of God. And please go to the Word of God and daily read it, let God speak to you, and your infrastructure will change, and you will be victorious. You will be an overcomer of whatever is controlling you, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let him guide you. Let him teach you. Let him direct you. Confess your sins as they come up, as you read the scriptures, as you think. There are no sinful thoughts that come into your mind that drive you to this addictive behavior. Confess it as sin. Whatever you want to say, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. God bless you. You want to contact me, email me at wsm217@gmail.com, wsm217@gmail.com. Or call me, 985-789-5988. Leave a message. If I don't recognize the phone number, I won't answer usually. So just call me, leave a message, hey, John, I want to talk to you. That's all you got to do. So God bless you, praying for you.